fighting for America.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
Fighting for Idaho.
My wife Amy and I want to be proud of living in this state, and right now we're struggling with that. Passing HB 2 would be a great step in showing me that you want me here.
Fighting for you.
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Dr. Peg Luksic, who is from Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you had a big forum last night concerning the dangers of Common Core, and we have the triple threat Common Core ladies with us as well, and they're here to make sure that I behave. So,
okay,
your first trip to Idaho?
No, okay. Actually, it's not the first time I've been involved in education.
I probably got that. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the first time the federal government attempted to take over. In the 1990s, it was called outcome-based education. Mm. The federal legislation was Goals 2000, and I traveled the country opposing that. So the first time I was actually here was more than 20 years ago, speaking about education issues.
Boy, I can remember as a teacher remembering Goals 2000 back then.
Yes.
That's real old school when we're talking about that. So it seems like the every time the feds want to get involved in education, whether it's Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, or Common Core, they have the intent, I suppose, of making it better, but that doesn't work out to the reality.
It does not. It isn't even actually the intent. The intent's always to redefine education from enlightening a child to what they call workforce development. So 20 years ago, the two tiers were outcome-based education, and then there was a school-to-work component that said the purpose was to prepare you for a job and you would get the education you need to do your job. And with Common Core, when you read into the documents, they actually call education workforce development. And there's now the new commission on the American workforce that actually resurrects all of the structure that existed in the 1990s and is attempting to reimpose it. So the federal government really has one agenda, and they just keep circling around.
Let me hit you with this. We have do we have that cut? Let's see if we can find that here at 580 KIDO. We have the governor here talking about that we're the reddest of the reddest states, and yet we have folks that have been Republicans, and maybe it's a nonpartisan issue. I'm mistaken here, but we have this cut here.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
And yet we have our state school superintendent, the past one, the present one, endorsing Common Core. You have people in the legislature that thought it was a good idea.
Right. This really doesn't follow any party lines. So if you look at the federal level, the history, you have America 2000, which was President Bush the Elder, followed by Goals 2000, which was President Clinton, followed by No Child Left Behind, which was President Bush the Junior, and then President Obama came up with Common Core. So it doesn't cross party lines in the way that you think it does. And the opposition lines up left and right in a really odd way as well. So it's a really different issue because it's really about who controls the children. And so on the right, what you have is a marriage of big business stepping in and saying, well, we want to prepare a workforce. We want people who will step in with the skills they need to do their job, but nothing else. We just want to have this compliant workforce. And on the left, you have folks who think it's all about equality and the whole concept that everybody has to be the same because somehow it's unfair if people are all different. So it's a weird marriage. And in opposition, on the right, you have people who are very much individualist. And on the left, you have people saying, wait, this is discriminatory. So when I fought it years ago in the state of Oregon, my partner was the Rainbow Coalition.
Wow. They've come a long way.
They have.
At 580-KIDO, phone number is 580-5436. What do you say, and let me play the devil's advocate. By the way, the reference to America 2000, again, I remember that in college, and it seems like when the federal government wants to jump in, remember we were going to get rid of bad teachers before they graduated. We had the National Teachers Exam.
Yes.
And all that did was put money into the pockets of people that created the tests. It really didn't do anything. And so it seems like, again, the more the feds want to jump in here, but I'm sorry, let me hit you with this. Well, what's wrong with preparing people to go to work? We have people that graduate high school today that have to take a year or two of courses in college so they can get up to college level. Is that the argument for, the Common Core, if you will?
Well, it's kind of funny because that's what they say.
Okay.
However, we've had America 2000 Goals, 2000 No Child Left Behind. So we've had 20 years of this federally mandated standards-based education saying that the government's going to set achievement standards for the children and then hold everybody accountable to meet them. And 20 years later, 60% of our kids need remediation at the college level, and the adult illiteracy level among high school graduates is 19%. Meanwhile, the federal government this year is planning to spend over $75 billion to continue to implement programs that all of the research says they don't work. So why would we continue? If any industry did this, they would say, wait, we're not going to spend more money. We made an airplane that doesn't fly. So let's make the non-flying airplane bigger.
Right.
That's, in effect, what the federal government is doing here. Instead of saying, wait, why isn't the airplane flying? In fact, when education was locally controlled in America, really locally controlled, it worked.
Why do you have the buy-in from the educators then?
It's kind of funny because in every forum, and I travel the country, so last night at the end I had teachers walking up to me, and one of them with tears in her eyes talking about, I don't know what to do. I have children crying in my classes. I've never had this before. She talked about all of the data collection and that she's not allowed to slow down. She's not allowed to speed up. It doesn't matter if the kids are bored or they didn't get it. I have to follow the pre-prescribed curriculum at their speed, that I've been told you're not supposed to worry about the child. I'm just supposed to do this. So the teachers are increasingly not buying in, which is creating some issues for the unions, because both the NEA and the AFT receive multi-million-dollar grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and their own members are now rebelling. In the state of New York, we now have teachers publicly saying they will refuse to administer the tests because it's unethical.
Where are we at in Idaho? We have these young ladies who have single-handedly, it seems, and they've had some help, but they're the ones that have been doing the grunt work. They're the ones that go to the meetings. They're the ones that have done the research. They're the ones that have gotten in the face of politicians and, have had these politicians storm away. I've seen this. Where are we here in Idaho?
You know, I'm going to let Myla answer that because she would give
you
better
answer. Oh,
we've
had enough on Myla. We had enough of her yesterday.
No. Well, I think we're still in kind of a holding pattern here in Idaho. In my district specifically, I still can't really get an answer. I don't know what the penalty is going to be for my child for not taking the test.
Well, and if people missed you yesterday here at 580KIDO, you made a strong statement. You're going to have to repeat that for people that missed it.
Okay. I have already informed my district that I will be refusing for my son to take the SBAC test. I have given them documented points as to why I will be refusing, one of which is the psychometric nature of the test. There's no validity and reliability report. There's just a number of things that are wrong with it. So until we start having a dialogue, and I guess that's going to have to come from the State Department of Education, maybe Ms. Ibarra will have to maybe invite us in and have a conversation so that we can figure out the details.
Well, but back to you're going to have to spell this out for me because it's been a while. Psychometric test, what is that?
Well, from our understanding,
it sounds pretty darn scary to me.
Yeah,
kind of what they do to
the
bad employees around here at the broadcast.
Yeah.
A psychometric test is not just a spelling test or a math test. It is a test that actually tests attitudes, values, aptitudes, opinions, beliefs.
How can you test an attitude?
Let me give you a couple of real examples.
Okay.
From real tests.
Okay.
Pennsylvania was one of the incubator states for testing, so our testing history is very long. And in Pennsylvania, the original test, which was given all the way back in the late 70s and early 80s, was called the Educational Quality Assessment. It surfaced because a eighth grader came home and said to his mom, I took this really weird test, and when he described it, she didn't believe him. And so she went down to the school and said, you didn't give a test like this. Let me see it. And they said, you're not allowed.
To the parent.
And she said, no, I see I'm the mommy, so yeah, I actually am. And they wouldn't show it to her. The upshot was she sued the state of Pennsylvania in federal court, and she won. And Pennsylvania had to say they wouldn't give the test anymore. So what was in the test? Well, the title of – there were 10 topics. That one title was citizenship, which a normal person would think would mean – How long is the president in office and how many justices are in the Supreme Court? I actually have the EQA documents, and they tested locus of control, Are you internally controlled or externally controlled?
Okay.
They tested thresholds of behavior change by putting, giving the child, one of the sample questions was, there is a group called the Midnight Marauders and they go out and do vandalism. I would join the group if, and then there were a list of conditions under which you would join the group. There was no place to say you wouldn't join the group, so you had to pick the condition under which you would join the group. Mm. They were testing for thresholds for behavior change. They tested for adaptability for to change without protest. So the sample question was, I just found out that my father's being transferred to another state. How much time would you spend doing each of the following? Crying, saying goodbye to your friends, arguing with your parents, packing. And the goal was adaptability to change without protest. The test was used by the federal government as the basis to develop what were called validated curricular improvement modules that would be then, and they were developed on different demographics of children to say, to make the children do better on the test the next time, meaning the children would move more toward the government desired response for locus of control and thresholds of behavior change, et cetera. That's a psychometric test, except parents didn't know that they were doing psychometric testing. Parents thought they were testing citizenship and language, and that's a psychometric test. The National Assessment of Educational Progress years ago tested psychometrics, and the U.S. Congress actually passed a law forbidding them to do so and making them change the test in the late 80s and early 90s. So if you look at the NAEP documents, that happened in the very end of the 1980s, and so the NAEP was renormed in 1992 because they had to take all the psychometrics out.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up 580 KIDO, we continue our talk about Common Core in Idaho. We go to the publisher of the Gem State Patriot, TPB at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Peg. And good morning to all the lovely ladies.
Somehow
there.
I knew it would be you.
It is me. How could it be anybody else?
Exactly.
Well, I have a very important question. I'm reading an article yesterday, which is a resolution opposing Common Core state standards from the Democratic Party in Washington State. I really would like to know if Peg or the other people there think this is going to be very significant and an actual turning point for changing this and getting rid of the Common Core, because they do state in here the 10th Amendment prohibition against federally meddling in state education by the federal government. And they also mention how the Education Department has coerced the states into putting Common Core into place with the race to the top funds. Could you tell me, do you think this is really the turning point for us?
I think it's too early to say if it's the turning point, but I think it is certainly significant, because now we have Republican committees on the record, including the Republican National Committee, on the record opposing Common Core, and state Democratic committees opposing Common Core, which is proof positive that this is not a partisan issue, that this really is about our children. And interestingly, the standards or the statements are very similar in why they are opposing. In both cases, it's an objection to federal overreach of federal bureaucrats invading classrooms. And so it's too soon to tell if it will be the turning point. However, getting a Democratic committee like that on the record is really wonderful. I was just in Delaware this weekend, and in the Senate, they attempted to, Delaware just became a smarter balanced state, but the Department of Education did it before they asked the legislature's permission, which was not legal. And so they had to go back to the legislature after the fact, and the folks who voted against it in the Delaware Senate were all Democrats. So again, we're seeing party lines lining up a little bit differently, and that's very hopeful and very, very encouraging, because people are looking beyond the labels and actually looking at the issue.
Thank you very much, Peg. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right, Tea Party Bob.
Have a good day, Kevin.
Thank you. Roger in Caldwell at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just have a question. Last year when they were running this the trial, I called the school and I sent them an email saying, my son has other classes. I don't want him missing those classes. Is this a mandatory test? And if so, how can I get my child out of it? I know she mentioned some of the documentation that she presented is there something else that I can do, or is it this required thing that my son's going to have to take to graduate?
Well, I think the best answer to that is we don't know. It's not in the state law that we can opt out, but it's not in the state law that we can't opt out. So we are actually working with legislators right now to clarify that for parents. We believe that we as parents should have the right to protect our child's data through the test. We should be able to refuse the test for any reasons we so choose, and then give parents that don't care, they can just go ahead and take the test. So we're working on parents' rights right now. So the one thing I can tell you is you can go to our website and you can look at our links for refusing the test, and there's a lot of resources there.
Now, what's your website?
Idahoansforlocaleducation.com.
I will also, to add to that, tell you that across the country, parents are opting out of the test. In the state of New York last year, over 60,000 children refused to take the test. This year, they're in an organized campaign to have 250,000 refuse to take the test. In some states, the law actually gives parents the right to opt out. Pennsylvania would be one of them. In New York, the child has to refuse to take the test. In New Jersey, here as in Idaho, they're attempting to tell parents they're not allowed, and parents are citing U.S. federal Supreme Court cases to say, oh no, every time this has gone to the U.S. Supreme Court, parents' rights have prevailed, and they're citing the cases, and they're just asserting their rights to opt out, and the districts are backing down.
Excellent. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, Roger in Caldwell here at 580KIDO. So where do we go from here?
At this point, the biggest challenge is to educate enough folks. You know, people say, why don't the teachers stand up? And, you know, I travel many, many states, and it's their jobs. Teachers are actually being told, if they attend a town hall forum such as we had last night in some states, that the word insubordinate will be written in their teacher records.
Right.
They're being told they're not allowed to speak out against it. That doesn't mean you need to stop, but it means that what teachers tell us, we need to be able to share. Parents are just beginning, as the curriculum is trickling down into classrooms, and now we're seeing the harm that is being done. Parents are looking for answers. And so we're at the stage where educating the public on what is actually happening is extremely important, because the movement then will grow as more people actually become informed and understand the underpinnings and what they can do. It will become more effective, which is how all populist movements grow. It starts with a very few people and who then share their knowledge. The movement grows, and that eventually leads to political action. We're in the share the knowledge stage right now.
Back to the people, though, that are listening right now, like Roger or Myla. I mean, these districts are going to say, they're going to threaten them. They're going to do a lot of things. What do you say to give them the backbone to stand up to these folks?
When districts say you can't opt out of the test, or whatever they're saying, what I advise people to do is to turn around to the district and say, show me in the state law where it says I cannot do that. Well, it's not in your state law that you cannot do that. So if they can't produce a law, then what is your legal basis for refusing this to me? Because if it's not in the law that I'm not allowed, then I am allowed. So start rights that you do not stand on, you lose. So it's in a lot of cases, it's helping parents to be more assertive, just to be able to speak back, say to the district. Oftentimes you get phone calls saying, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Make them put it in writing. It's amazing how things change when people have to put a non-legal statement in writing. They can't just bully you. So, you know, I just want to make sure I'm really clear on what you're saying here. Can you send me that in an email? Can you send me a fax? I'll wait for your written correspondence, and then I can respond to it. So I'm sure we're clear on the facts. Many times things sort of disappear at that point. I want to see the legal citation. Show me the law that says that. Where in the Idaho school codes does it say I'm not allowed to do whatever it is you want to do? Oftentimes it's not in the school codes. Remember that the districts are, there's a lot of pressure on the districts to implement the tests. They're
sure.
Being told that they have to administer them. The law says the district has to administer the test. It doesn't say you have to take them. It says the district has to hand it to you. It doesn't say you have to do anything with it. And sometimes you need to actually, we spend some time helping people read the law. What does it say? And what does it not say? Because it's implied that they really can't mandate that the child do it, because they can't step over the parent. So they try to put pressure on the district and have the district be the bully. And we spend time helping parents say, no, you actually are allowed to do these things. Similarly with teachers, we spend time, here's where you can get information. Here's where you can share information in a way that's safe so that it gets out, but you're still protected. So we try to work with people where they are and give them the opportunity to participate.
Myla, one more time, the website?
Idahoans for Local Education.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you all. Good luck. Continued success. We'd love to have you back. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Kevin Miller with you here as we start the day with Dave Burnett. And another day, another big news day, as you were telling me. Now we have some folks that want to have the president come in and declare Obama's Idaho. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. Interesting. Yeah, evidently the staffers for the Frank Church Group have sent a note to the president, President Obama, you remember him.
Yep.
Requesting that 600,000 acres, that's, you know, a little over half a million acres, be designated wilderness area and a national monument. Wow. Which, by the way, is up in the Boulder White Clouds.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
Well, they're not asking it to be put to a vote. They're asking it to be struck with a pen, executive order. And I don't know that the president's ever done that before and made an executive order. Oh, wait, yeah, he has. Made an executive order, but that's what they're asking for. I think if it's requested, he'll do it.
Right.
Is that a land grab?
I would say.
Yeah. Be nice to put it to a vote. Just saying.
Well, as was reported in the Statesman from our friend Rocky Barker, last week, that Mike Simpson, as we talked about, has been given 6 months to get this done, or the president will declare it a national monument. And Senator Risch, who will talk to us tomorrow, is now partnered with him to try and make this happen. However, you take a look at this and you think, should it be Idaho's? Should it be a national monument? Many people think that if they make this happen, then it'll bring a lot of money to those counties. Then again, you can forget the ranchers who use the land and all that sort of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting. A battle over the boulders, the White Clouds, getting ready to take place. But now Frank Church's group, they are requesting that the pen be used to just make it so.
I guess I wasn't so far off a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you're a Looney Tune. Come on.
I'm a Looney Tune.
Sure. You know what people are saying about you on Facebook and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Demanding that I apologize. And I say that
What were you apologizing for again?
I should apologize because I was wrong. And look, I said that the president would do it. And, now that we know most of the story, I think that when Brad Little, he got off the plane, that's the first thing he said to him. And then Obama got defensive. And
He asked if he read your blog?
No.
Oh.
When Brad Little said to him, hey, keep your hands off that region, the Boulder White Clouds, Obama goes, hey, need to talk to this guy. Because Beter had been working him the entire trip.
I thought maybe he got off and shook his hand and said, hey, did you read Kevin's blog at 580kido.com?
That would be nice.
I thought that maybe that's what Brad Little said.
Well, now that you've said that, I'm going to embellish it and said that's, yeah. That influenced Brad Little to get mad and say,
we had lip readers.
Miller's writing about this now. See what you've done?
We've had lip readers, and this is what they say.
Jeez.
Hmm.
So we continue on. By the way, you haven't really had a chance to comment on some of the add the words thing. I'm just going to play a couple clips for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
At Evergreen State College in my home state of Olympia, Washington, the Olympia High School girls swim team complained about a naked man in their sauna. Girls as young as 6 use this facility for swim teams. The college said they had to allow this transgender male to use their facilities. If this law passes, this will happen in Idaho schools. The episode certainly violated the girls' rights to privacy, and this person had no concern about the effects of exhibitionism on the girls, or he would have covered himself up. He didn't want to live and let live. He wanted to shock these little girls.
Your thoughts?
Well, I think one error is by saying this will happen. I think she needed to say this can happen, because otherwise she'll be deemed a fearmonger by saying that it will happen.
Right.
But maybe better to have chosen the words that this could happen, or this, at this, you know, that it could can happen now. otherwise a fear monger. Here's my guess. Either way, you know, if they put it to a vote, either way that the vote comes out, Idaho's going to get a black eye, the state of Idaho. If it's passed, then those who are opposed to it, if they speak up, then it'll be you haters, you. If it's put down, then those who are in favor of it start screaming, don't send your conferences to Idaho. They hate. And then comes the too great to hate, and then Idaho gets a black eye that way.
Well, I suppose, but Idaho already has a black eye. Here's another one from the other side. She's embarrassed to be in Idaho. Whoops, sorry.
Has a little piano music. That's good, though.
We've adjusted our computer program so I can't separate things, so I'll have to close that file.
On the Capitol.
Oh, apparently, there we go. See, you're not the only one that has
the machines
programs.
Are running the world.
Yes.
It's a Terminator.
I urge you that when you discuss this bill, don't just think about Idaho, but think of our standing in the nation as well. We can't go through one more failed piece of legislation. We can't be the laughing stock again. Quite honestly, sometimes I'm embarrassed the things that come out of Idaho, and I'm embarrassed to have to speak with other people from other states with their progressive legislation, and we're, quite frankly, stuck.
Yeah, you haters.
Future leaders of America.
Well, the border is about 60-some-odd miles that way.
I just love the wisdom of youth.
Yes.
So the hearings have wrapped up. I believe they will be voting today. And I predict that the words will be going down.
And then?
Then, despite the intentions of this committee, despite the intentions of Speaker Boettke that made this happen, the shenanigans will continue. And I know why the committee did this, and you as well. They wanted to take away the talking points that they didn't get a hearing. Now, getting a hearing will not be enough. Now they need legislation. And
wait, I thought they said all they wanted was a hearing.
Right, like all they wanted was civil unions. Now, here's the one that I'm going to try and get you into trouble on.
Oh, boy.
And we talked about it yesterday. We'll probably talk about it ad length today. This is Chief Masterson, who's retiring Friday. And there's going to be a farewell ceremony today for him somewhere. But Chief Masterson, who in his last few years has not held back from appearing in uniform and apparently speaking for himself, I would assume the entire police department and his successor in this clip.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, and members of the House State Affairs Committee. My name is Mike Masterson. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the importance of House Bill 2, adding the words as one of my final remarks I make as Boise's police chief. It is fitting that I am here today both as myself and my successor, Chief Bill Bones, feel the discussion around adding the words is at its foundation one of public safety, yours, mine, and every Idahoan's.
Right. He makes that allegation one more time with the chief.
In my 10 years as Boise police chief, I've heard concerns from hundreds of people on just about as many topics. But one of the most concerning to me was an email I received in 2012 from an individual whose friend was a victim of a crime. There was evidence that the victim was targeted because of his sexual orientation. That crime went unreported. That victim lacked the trust that the crime committed against them would be investigated as the hate crime it appeared to be.
He said he's heard from hundreds of people on just as many topics?
Apparently, but he never offers any statistics. And then he, like you said, the crime was committed, but they didn't report it. So there you have it.
But by saying you've heard from hundreds of people on just as many topics, that's I've heard from hundreds of people on hundreds of topics. What about the other 99 topics? We're going to address those?
Apparently not.
Discrimination against fatties?
That's behavior. Oh, we can't control behavior.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, at 580KIDO, and we'll be going over these ad nauseum all morning today and asking people, should the words be added? There's a very emotional things. Let's try not to get into trouble here. Let's hear from this one.
I remember in first grade, the teacher made the boys and the girls compete against each other to solve puzzles. She would give us gold stars. Sometimes she would let the winning group pick snacks that day or get to decide what we did for recess. And on this particular day that I can remember so clearly, she separated us out. This was the first time into boys and girls, and I went where I thought I belonged. According to the teacher, I was in the wrong group. So I asked her why. Why can't I be a girl? I was 6 years old.
What? Red Rover, Red Rover.
Just letting you respond to that one, buddy. I talked about it all day yesterday here.
Send Kevin right over.
At 580KIDL, I didn't know that that was such a traumatic event to tell him, you're not a girl.
Huh.
Number one. Number two, do you really know what type of gender you identify with at 6 years old? Do you know how to read yet? And yet, here we have people, and you have people that agree with this and say, well, you know, this is good stuff. This is wonderful. This is what we need to hear. And you have Chief Masterson, who, in my opinion, quite frankly, is hired to put away bad guys. He should keep his opinions to himself. If he wants to be Private Citizen Mike Masterson and not speak for the police department, then quite frankly, that's what he should do. And you know that he's gotten the blessing of the higher-ups in the city of Boise to do this. He wouldn't do this on his own.
I find it interesting that he's doing this on his way out, and then including Chief Bones in the discussion.
Including Chief Bones is interesting, number one, because now he speaks for him.
Yeah, have Chief Bones come out and make a comment.
No, yeah, look, with all due, we don't need to hear from you, Masterson. You're yesterday's news. Sorry. Have fun skiing.
Clean out your desk.
Number one. Number two, he did this 2 years ago when the city of Boise enacted their ordinance. Number three, he did this at Campus Carry, which I guess you could say he was qualified to talk about. But I've, and not in my recent history, have seen a appointed police chief be so politically active as soon to be former Chief Masterson. And if I'm a cop in the city of Boise, do I want him speaking for me? Because that's what's implied there, that he's representing the Boise Police Department.
Well, that's exactly what's implied.
Right. I was just going to say, please correct me if I'm wrong, as you so stridently do.
No. I would think when you stay, I'm speaking on behalf of, that pretty much says that includes everybody in the group. And none of you get a chance, you know, none of you get a chance to voice your own opinion. I don't see them asking for individual officers to get up to voice their opinion if they happen to be opposed to it.
Right.
You know, is it a law enforcement issue? Absolutely. If somebody is getting beaten up and the purpose, the reason is because they are gay, that should be dealt with. The person who beat them up should be arrested because it's called assault.
Now, remember,
it's called battery.
When they wanted to pass this not ordinance or what have you, the city of Boise said that there were hundreds of crimes. Well, in the entire state, there were, what, four or two? Last year, there were none. And now we have people saying, and here, and you're a pretty logical guy, aren't you?
Sometimes.
All right. So if I'm a gay guy, And I think the whole point of the bill is, can you decline people to rent houses or whatever from you because they're gay, all right? So if I'm a gay guy and I go to Dave Burnett's rental agency, and Dave Burnett says, hey, gay, no gay here, you're not going to rent from Dave Burnett's mini mansions. So I'm in a hearing. Don't I say, well, I went to Dave Burnett's mini mansions, and Dave Burnett told me I couldn't rent there because I'm gay, if that truly happened, instead of saying, I went to a rental agency, and they told me, or they declined me because I was gay. Maybe you had bad credit. Maybe you had this. If it's the truth, why withhold that information?
Well, I thought it was against federal laws to discriminate that way.
That's a very good point, Dave Burnett, 580KIDO. The federal laws already cover these things.
And if you do that, you're in trouble.
Right. Never mind. Does anybody want the negative publicity associated with this?
Well, it's coming. One way or the other, it's coming.
So, back to Representative Crane and the others who will vote on this today.
If they get out of debate.
I'm sure they will. I thought that was wrapped up.
I think closing statements are for the bill. I think the closing statements.
So closing statements, that'll be just the politicians. Well, they won't take all day. They're pretty short-winded.
Yeah. It depends on what the committee chairman decides. It depends how long they want to debate it.
Oh, so we could actually see people going back and forth. You could have the representative saying, hey, I'm, you know, me and my husband, you know, we're married and we need to have this for the entire state. I think the issue here is people think that Boise is the entire state of Idaho. As you well know, not the case.
No, it's not. I mean, you want to find out how rural Idaho is, drive outside the city limits.
Well, the Senator, Valley, right? Senator Sitaway laid the smack down yesterday talking about the teaching situation in eastern Idaho. That's all I have.
That's all I got, too. Boy.
A lot of words talking today.
Let me just go get some coffee and go sit on the couch for a while.
Now, in the old days, you could sit back and make statements about the people and their dress and everything else, but we can't do that here.
No, that'd be bad. Hey, but interesting that the Frank Church people are going to be taking a letter to the president asking him to use a pen.
Why didn't they do it when he was here?
That's a good question. Very good question.
And then you have Loud for the Clouds. They were out there protesting next to the Saeed people.
Yeah. Interesting times, Mr. Miller. I got to do traffic, though. Your traffic now is coming up.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at the future of Bo Bergdahl. Many people believe that a court martial is not good enough, and you take a look at what the government is looking at, that his 5 years in captivity should go towards his prison time for desertion. If, in fact, that is the case, if he forfeits his $300,000 in back pay, he may be able to walk. And you really take a look at Bo Bergdahl. What's the future for him? Perhaps a book deal, perhaps returning to Idaho. And is Idaho ready? Are you ready to add the words, have you had enough? Or is this a good thing? 580-5436. We'll talk about those topics next. It's 38 in Boise. Time for traffic. 559 coming up next. Fox News on the radio. The latest from Jordan and Japan concerning possibly the transfer of prisoners for hostages with ISIS. That and more. Keep it here. Stay informed. 580 KIDO. KIDO.